All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive. This time we're digging into a case that really set a precedent in Colorado, People v. McNeese, back in 1995, which had huge implications for how the state understands self-defense, specifically with its Make My Day law.
Yeah, this one's big, especially for anyone out there grappling with criminal law in Colorado. We're going to break down the whole thing. And by the way, we're going straight to the court's opinion itself. No hearsay here.
Exactly. We want to get this right so you guys have a solid grasp of how this all plays out in defending your home under Colorado law. So to start off, maybe just give us a quick rundown of what this whole Make My Day law is all about.
So the Make My Day law, officially it's in the Colorado Revised Statutes, Section 18.1R704.5. Basically, it grants immunity to homeowners or occupants from criminal prosecution if they use force, even deadly force, against an intruder who unlawfully enters their dwelling.
Right, so it's essentially giving people the right to protect themselves in their own homes without having to worry about legal consequences. But I imagine there's some pretty specific conditions that need to be met, right?
Absolutely. It's not a carte blanche to just use force whenever. There's a framework the courts use to determine if the law actually applies. That's exactly where McNeese comes in. It really fleshed out what unlawful entry truly means in this context.
Okay, makes sense. So let's talk about the specifics of McNeese. It sounds like a pretty dramatic situation. What actually happened?
Oh, it's definitely a heavy one. Robert McNeese, an African-American man, had this oral lease agreement for an apartment with a woman named Vivian Daniels. Now, the lease had a specific stipulation. Her husband, John Daniels, wasn't allowed on the property at all. And from what we know, John Daniels had a history of racist views, so there's already some tension there.
Right off the bat, yeah, that's a powder keg waiting to go off.
It was. So things escalate when McNeese allegedly makes some unwanted advances towards Vivian. Understandably upset, she decides to go back to the apartment to get her things, and she brings her husband, John, along with another guy, David Wessels.
So already we see this lease agreement being ignored.
Yeah, and it goes further south. When they get there, John Daniels ends up physically attacking McNeese, choking him, and even threatening to kill him. It's in this chaotic moment that McNeese uses a knife to defend himself. He fatally stabs both John Daniels and David Wessels, and even injures Vivian in the process.
Wow. I mean, it's just tragic all around. So how does the Make My Day law come into play here? Did McNeese try to use it as a defense?
That's exactly what he did. His argument hinged on the fact that John Daniels had explicitly been told he couldn't be on the property. Therefore, McNeese claimed, his entry was unlawful, making the Make My Day statute applicable and granting him immunity for the deaths.
So essentially, the case boils down to how the court defines unlawful entry.
Right.
It's not as straightforward as just being uninvited, it seems.
You hit the nail on the head. It's the crux of the whole case. The trial court initially actually agreed with McNeese. They saw John Daniels' entry as unlawful because of that lease violation, not to mention the assault. So the court gave McNeese immunity for John Daniels' death. And get this, the Court of Appeals backed them up.
Wait, so both lower courts considered breaking a lease agreement enough to activate the Make My Day law?
That's what it looked like. But then the Colorado Supreme Court stepped in and, well, they flipped the script entirely. Their clarification was huge. Unlawful entry, as far as the Make My Day statute goes, needs a knowing violation of criminal law. Breaking a lease agreement, even if it leads to violence, just doesn't cut it.
Okay, so it's a much stricter standard. They're drawing a clear line between a civil violation, like a lease dispute, and a criminal act.
Exactly. It's a crucial point. Think about it. Someone getting into a shouting match with their landlord over unpaid rent, that's a civil matter. It shouldn't escalate to deadly force being justified under Make My Day. The statute aims to protect against criminals forcing their way in.
Right. It's about preventing serious harm from people intending to do wrong, not just resolving arguments, even heated ones.
That's the big takeaway from McNeese. But let's dig a little deeper. Even if we say, hypothetically, that the entry was unlawful, there's another piece to this puzzle. The reasonable belief that the intruder intends to commit a crime beyond just entering unlawfully.
Oh, right. There's got to be more to it than just being on the property illegally. So did the court find that McNeese had that reasonable belief in this case?
Well, the court did acknowledge that John Daniels committed third-degree assault by choking McNeese. But here's the catch, and this is crucial, that happened after he'd already entered the apartment.
So the timing is really important here.
Hugely important. For Make My Day to apply, the occupant has to reasonably believe a further crime is going to happen at the point of entry, not just react to what happens later. The court just wasn't convinced that McNeese had that reasonable belief when Daniels first walked in.
That makes sense. So even though things got violent, it wasn't the initial intent, at least not demonstrably so. It's not about retroactively justifying force.
Right. It's about the perceived threat in that moment of entry. Now, I know this might all sound very technical, but the court was basically trying to stay true to the actual wording of the Make My Day law.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Why were they so focused on sticking to that narrow interpretation?
Well, it comes down to the principle of statutory interpretation. The court's job isn't to rewrite laws, but to figure out exactly what the legislature meant when they wrote them. And the legislature specifically used the term unlawful entry, not something vague like unwanted or uninvited. To the court, that meant they had something more concrete in mind, something tied to actual criminal law.
So they saw it as a deliberate choice by lawmakers to create a very specific threshold for using deadly force.
Right.
It's not something to be invoked lightly.
Precisely. The court was worried about the Make My Day law being twisted into a free pass for using force in basically any dispute, you know, turning every argument into a potential shootout. They wanted to ensure it remained a tool for deterring and dealing with actual criminal threats, not for settling personal disagreements.
Makes sense. It's a weighty law. Shouldn't be taken lightly.
Yeah.
Now, wasn't there some disagreement within the court about this decision, though?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There were some pretty interesting dissenting and concurring opinions. Justice Scott, for instance, he actually felt the court was being too narrow. He believed the Make My Day law should provide stronger protection for homeowners and that simply violating the lease should have been enough to make the entry unlawful.
So he was more on the side of erring on the side of the homeowner no matter what.
Yeah, his focus was on the sanctity of the home itself. Any unauthorized entry, especially when there's existing tension and a broken agreement, should justify self-defense in his view.
Okay, so a broader interpretation of the law. What about the concurring opinion?
Well, Chief Justice Rivera agreed with the overall decision, you know, reversing the lower courts, but he had a bit of a different take on the whole knowing violation thing. He thought that if an entry objectively violates criminal law, that should be enough to trigger the Make My Day statute, regardless of whether the person intended to break the law when they walked in.
Interesting. So some nuance in how to define that unlawful entry, even among those who agreed on the overall outcome.
Right. It highlights how tricky legal interpretation can be. But ultimately, the majority opinion is what matters, and they laid down a pretty clear four-prong test for when Make My Day actually applies.
Yeah, let's walk through that test. It's obviously important for anyone wanting to understand how this law works in practice.
Absolutely. So first off, you have to have that unlawful entry, which we've talked a lot about. It means an actual crime, like criminal trespass or burglary, not just breaking a civil agreement.
Okay, so that sets the bar pretty high right from the start.
It does. Then second, the occupant has to genuinely and reasonably believe that the intruder is going to commit, is committing, or already has committed a crime inside the dwelling. This is a key point. It can't just be about their entry itself. There has to be something more.
So, like, if someone breaks in and is clearly looking for valuables, that would be a stronger case than someone just barging in angrily during an argument, right?
Exactly. And third, the occupant also needs to reasonably believe that the intruder might use physical force, even a little bit, against anyone in the home.
So there has to be a genuine fear for safety, even if the intruder hasn't directly threatened violence yet.
Right. It's about that perceived threat. And finally, the fourth point, any force used has to be directed at the actual intruder. You can't say, go after someone else who was involved but didn't actually enter unlawfully.
Got it. So four very specific conditions, all of which need to be proven by the person claiming Make My Day immunity. That's a pretty high bar to clear.
It is. They have to show, more likely than not, that they met all these requirements. And, you know, looking at the big picture, I think the McNeese case really drives home a few key points for law students, especially those in Colorado.
Yeah, let's talk about those takeaways. What are the biggest lessons we can learn from this case?
Well, first and foremost is just how strictly unlawful entry is defined. It's not about being unwelcome. It's about an actual provable crime. Second, the timing of that perceived threat is critical. The focus is on what the occupant reasonably believed at the moment of entry, not on what happened afterward. Third, remember, it's the defendant's responsibility to prove they met all four parts of the test. They carry that burden.
Okay, so those are the legal nuts and bolts, but what about the broader implications?
Well, I think McNeese makes it crystal clear that while Colorado law grants protection to homeowners, it's not a blank check for violence. The statute is meant to deter and protect against genuine criminal activity. Lastly, it shows us how much weight the courts put on the actual language of laws. Every word matters, and the courts try their best to follow that as closely as possible.
Absolutely. People v. McNeese gives us this really in-depth understanding of Colorado's Make My Day law. And like you said, it all comes down to that unlawful entry being a crime and a reasonable belief that more criminal activity is going to occur, not just a heated argument spilling over.
Exactly. It's a crucial distinction for anyone studying criminal law in Colorado, especially when analyzing self-defense cases. It highlights the difference between a civil wrong and a criminal act and how those differences play out in the context of protecting one's home.
This has been such a valuable deep dive into this case. It really gives us a lot to chew on. Now, let's take this a step further and think about some of the gray areas this ruling might create. What about situations where the entry is a bit more ambiguous? Maybe someone believes they have permission to enter when they actually don't. How would we determine a knowing violation of the law in that scenario? And even more broadly, as technology changes and our understanding of societal norms evolves, will we need to rethink what constitutes reasonable belief in these self-defense cases? Those are all crucial questions to ponder as we continue to navigate the complexities of law and the right to self-defense. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive, everyone.
Thanks for having me.